And finally, it's a kind of returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's all right.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to EnglishRadio@IRIB.ir.
Praises to Allah, all glory to Allah, we worship Allah and no one but Allah.
Usually the people and the Muslims at the end of the holy month of Ramadan have this Eid al-Fitr. I mean, yes. Let's talk a little bit about the nature of the Eid al-Fitr itself. What are the benefits of this celebration and why at all it is called Eid al-Fitr, Shaykh?
You know, we have a kind of zakat in Islam which is called zakat fitr. Zakat fitr, fitr means nature in Islamic, let's say, terminology. When we say, for example, fitratullah allati fatara an-nasa alayha, it goes to the fitra or to the nature or to the essence of man. That is why it seems that this Eid, which is called Eid al-Fitr, it relates to our nature, to our essence. That when we pay this zakat is also zakat of like our nature, zakat of our body, we can say our soul. We give this zakat, we pay this zakat on ourselves, you know.
Okay.
That is, sometimes we pay zakat on some properties that we have, but sometimes we pay zakat al-fitr. For our own self, we pay zakat. This zakat is a kind of payment, which is like kind of thanks, that we thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we give a kind of hadiyah, or let's say gift to the people, being thankful, being grateful, being, let's say, happy in this Eid. So that's why the holy month of Ramadan, as I mentioned, it relates to purification of our nature, of our essence, we can say, of our dhat, dhatul insan, or the essence of man should be purified in this holy month, should be cleaned from any kind of wrong things and, let's say sins. So that is why this is called Eid al-Fitr. Fitr means nature, or fitra is rooted in this term fitratullah allati fatara an-nasa alayha. So this fitra should become pure and clean in this holy month. Once it is purified, we will have Eid, we will be happy, we will be we will feel that we are now prosperous, we are now happy.
That
we could purify ourselves from the wrong things.
And sharing our happiness with the poor people all around the world through this Zakat al-Fitriya is very much recommended, as you said,
Islam. Yes.
So, the people at the end of the holy month of Ramadan do this Eid because they have been invited to Ziyafat Allah, the banquet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to finish Shahrullah in a very nice way and to keep the nice, and we can say, good memories. But as we said, the effects of the holy month of Ramadan are both spiritual and, we can say, individual levels, so that the people might think about the poorness of the others too, especially this holy month of Ramadan. We could see that the people and the children of Gaza, you know, they do not have food or pure water or something like that. So sharing feelings with such children over there is very much nice. But, Shaykh, we can say that, as you said, the Eid and the concept of celebration, spiritually speaking, is very much different. I mean, according to the Urafa and mystics, you know, when you find a kind of pleasure and joyfulness inside, every day of you can be the Eid for you. I mean, the true sense of the meaning of the Eid or Eid means cleanliness and purity of your heart and soul. Am I right?
Yes, of course. Once you purified yourself, you become happy. Eid means to be happy, you know. One of the meaning of Eid is to be happy.
Yes.
Why are you happy? This is the reason, you know. What is the reason for being happy? The reason is that you could purify yourself. That's why you're happy, you know. The moment that man could be happy is to achieve a kind of status of proximity to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing that we can be happy is this. So this happiness can be only achieved via that purity or cleanliness from any kind of sins. Mm-hmm. This is what we should be happy for. That's why we have Eidul Fitr as Eid, that we naturally, or our nature, our essence will be purified during this holy month of Ramadan.
Okay. And Eid al-Fitr at the end of the Ramadan does not mean to be free again, okay?
Exactly.
This is a celebration. We are not going to ruin the facts of the holy month of Ramadan during one day.
Mm. Yeah, it depends that from what perspective we look at this freedom and liberty. You know, we have a kind of liberty here, liberty or liberation from sins. We should be free from sins, that's true. But not to be free to commit sins, you know?
Very good.
Yeah, that's why there is freedom. Freedom for the soul is that when you save your soul, that when you free and liberate your soul from wrong things, from sins, that is the best freedom.
That's right.
That is the real freedom that you may enjoy. But of course, if you again turn back to the sins, and that's not freedom, you know, that's again problems and difficulties that you may face again.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of Eid and Eid al-Fitr and why Muslims do celebrate after the finishing of the holy month of Ramadan. Thank you, Sheikh.
You're welcome.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Afghanistan is now battling an invisible foe that threatens its future generations. The World Food Programme has sounded the alarm on the rising tide of malnutrition cases, a crisis worsened by the country's ongoing economic challenges and reduced international aid. Marking the World Health Day, the Taliban's Minister of Public Health expresses concern over the malnutrition crisis, calling for international support.
It is clear that Afghanistan is one of the poor countries in the world. There is no doubt that children and mothers are grappling with malnutrition. We need the support of the world in combating the disaster. I call on the UNICEF, WHO and WFP to continue their assistance to our people with poor health conditions. especially those suffering from malnutrition.
The impact of international sanctions and the U.S. policies cannot be overlooked in understanding the gravity of the situation. That is a warning by pediatricians here in Afghanistan. Years of conflict have severely damaged the country's infrastructure, making it a challenge to provide adequate health care and nutrition to vulnerable groups. Moreover, recent cuts in international assistance as well as the Western-led sanctions are worsening things.
There are also some foreign factors exacerbating the malnutrition crisis in Afghanistan. Afghan assets that belong to Afghans and are meant to support our economy are frozen. We are witnessing a decline in international health assistance, especially to our children. Some international bodies continue to collaborate, but these are not sufficient. Some organizations that used to support families have ended their missions in Afghanistan.
A lot of people like me are coming to this hospital because their children are malnourished. I think everything boils down to a single problem, economic shortcoming. If our family had enough to eat, our children wouldn't become undernourished. People don't have money and they're not receiving aid anymore.
Experts emphasize that the need for immediate aid cannot be overstated. Afghan families are in desperate need of assistance to combat this malnutrition crisis. The international community must come together to provide the necessary resources and support to save lives and alleviate the suffering of the Afghan people. The economic crisis in Afghanistan is taking a toll on the health and well-being of the war-ravaged nation. Advocates warn that without a significant increase in support, the crisis will further deepen. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
Thousands came together for the annual International Quds Day March in the Canadian city of Toronto to show their solidarity with the Palestinian people, especially those in the besieged Gaza Strip. Palestinian solidarity organizations and communities rallied across from the U.S. consulate, calling on Ottawa and Washington to act urgently to end the Israeli terror campaign and genocide and try to save as many lives as
possible. And this year it's especially important because people are motivated to come out in large numbers to bring an end to this genocide that's taking place in Gaza and underline their commitment to see a free Palestine from the river to the sea and a free Al-Quds, a free Jerusalem, free from Zionism and occupation.
Millions around the world are marching yesterday, today and tomorrow, all week. Thousands of cities and towns across the globe are making Al-Quds Day an international day, a call for justice and freedom, particularly for the Palestinian people as they are facing genocide and war crimes in Gaza.
The city has continued its heavy policing of pro-Palestinian demonstrations. Just 1 week ago, several participants were injured and six others were arrested in the annual Land Day commemoration by the Toronto police, who were captured on camera using excessive force.
So last week, people must have seen the videos by now, but the police completely attacked a peaceful rally, and there was horses involved, and this is what the police do. They're on the side of the Zionists, they terrorize people. You know, a protest, a simple, peaceful protest, you're not allowed. I mean, this is another example of the Palestine exception. That protest is good, it's a liberal, you know, it's a sign of democracy, except when you're talking about Palestine. You can't do that.
Participants also use Quds Day to condemn a recent deadly attack by the Israeli regime on Iran's consulate building in Syria's capital, Damascus.
Well, Iran has been subjugated to all forms of aggression at the hands of the Zionist regimes and their backers. But the last crime that Israel have done in destroying the Iranian embassy in Damascus, that is a zero tolerance. Iran will respond, and I think that Iran is being called upon by the people to respond against this Israeli aggression.
As the targeted killing of civilians and the starvation campaign continue, a temporary resident visa program announced by the administration in Ottawa 3 months ago has failed to bring to Canada any Palestinian relatives of Canadians from Gaza. Against that backdrop, families and activists are pressuring for a real arms embargo on Israel. Camila Escalante, Toronto.
Thousands of Austrians marched under the slogan "Stop the genocide, stop the occupation" in the capital Vienna. The Palestine Committee and Palestine Solidarity Austria organized the demonstration. The march was held on Saturday, a week after house raids of Palestinian activists in the city of Linz. Police recently also interrogated protesters in other cities. International Kutz Day was an aspiration for the organizers of Saturday's protest.
And all these commemoration days is to really say, wake up, we are really in the situation where people are getting killed every day and we have to stop it as soon as possible.
Organizers also criticized a four-day visit of the President of the Austrian Parliament, Wolfgang Sobotka, to Israel this week.
Well, obviously, when looking at the last 6 months, there's been some unconditional support for Israel, obviously, and their action in the Gaza Strip, which is absolutely unacceptable.
Several speakers stressed Austrian solidarity with Palestinians in war-torn Gaza as the US-Israeli genocidal war continues unabated. They said the Austrian government does not speak for them.
It's the most obvious wrongdoing that I've ever seen in my life.
The protesters called for support for Lebanon and Yemen against US imperialist aggression. People from around the world joined the Vienna march.
I was born in Chile under a dictatorship and I have a lot of Palestinian friends. I am even wearing a t-shirt from a team called Palestina who was founded by Palestinian migrants several years ago. I couldn't be in peace with myself if I wasn't here demonstrating and saying and raising my voice at least.
Representatives of Jewish organizations such as Not In Our Name stressed their continued solidarity with the Palestinian struggles. Organizers said all Austrians must continue to protest against the US-Israeli genocide and their government support for it, despite the repression.
We cannot call ourselves humans, regardless of our nationalities or political views or religions, and be indifferent about what's going on nowadays in Gaza.
Thousands marched in the Austrian capital Vienna in support of the people and the resistance in Gaza as the Israeli genocide war claims more civilian lives. Despite Austria's repression, the state and the police were unable to stop the Palestine solidarity movement. Saturday's demonstration has once again shown that the support for Gaza remains strong in Austria. Dieter Reinisch, Vienna.
With a military parade, Hezbollah marked International Quds Day in Lebanon, where hundreds of Lebanese and Palestinians raised their fists in a show of support for the resistance group and its leader. Hezbollah Secretary General underscored the significance of the Lebanese front and raised his voice in response to the Israeli threat, saying the resistance in Lebanon is fully prepared for any war.
The resistance in Lebanon does not fear war. It has managed battle in the last 6 months with a clear strategy and a vision which is complementary to the ongoing battle in the region. The resistance has managed the battle in a manner that would lead to victory while protecting Lebanon. However, it is fully prepared morally, mentally, and militarily for any war which the enemy would regret having launched against Lebanon.
Hezbollah's leader downplayed the ability of the Israeli regime to launch a full-scale war on Lebanon with the fact that it is extremely exhausted and has achieved none of its declared objectives, except for the killing of innocent women and children. And despite the sacrifices, he said, the alliance of resistance is on the path to a historic and major victory.
Based on logic and political, military, diplomatic, regional, international and economic information, we are able to see very clearly what the leader of the Iranian revolution had said during the first days of the war, that Israel will be defeated and that Gaza will be victorious, and Netanyahu will have no choice but to stop the war, which will be a historic and major victory for the resistance in the region.
A significant part of the speech touched upon the Iranian role in supporting the resistance factions and the oppressed people of the region. It also confirmed that the Iranian response to the Israeli attack on the consular section of the Iranian embassy in Damascus will certainly come, and that everyone needs to be ready for what may lie ahead after this retaliation.
We are very close to a victory, since the blood that has been shed in Gaza and Lebanon and from all our brothers will be fruitful. This is why this year is exceptional, and it has a very positive impact on our hearts and has given us hope that a big victory is possible.
It's not just the duty of Muslims to take part in Al-Quds Day, but also as human beings all over the world, since it proves their humanity.
We are here not to support just Gaza, we are supporting all Palestine, the resistance in all region. We'll elaborate Palestine and Al-Quds, and we will win, inshallah.
Hezbollah's leader also noted that Al-Aqsa flood has put Israel's existence in danger and exposed its vulnerabilities, and those who should be ashamed are the ones who have normalized ties with Israel.
Al-Quds Day this year is distinct on all levels. Loud actions have been made, not only in support of the Palestinian people, but in establishing what could turn into a tangible plan to end the occupation of the Holy Land. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
The International Quds Day this year comes following Israel's airstrike on the consular section of Iran's embassy in Damascus that killed 7 Iranian military officers. This latest Israeli attack, together with over 6 months of regime's genocide in Gaza, prompted thousands of Iranians to pour into the streets across the country to mark Quds Day.
Recently, there was an incident in which we were all heartbroken and devastated, as 2 of the top Iranian generals were killed and our country's embassy was air targeted. This act was against international and human rights law. As an Iranian and a Jew, we condemn this issue.
Quds Day is commemorated all over the world on the last Friday of Ramadan. It is a day of international solidarity with the Palestinian people. Just like previous years, the Iranian Jew community also joined other protesters to express their support for Palestinians in Gaza. This community believes that the United Nations and the Western countries have been totally inactive over the ongoing genocide in the Gaza Strip.
We are not anti-Semites, but we are anti-crime. We are anti-killing. And in one word, we are anti-Zionist. And we live in peace with each other in Iran, with Jews, but we don't have any problem with Jews. We have problem with genocide, with killing, with Zionists.
We send a message to all young and free people around the world that humanity is in danger today. Hear our voice, our belief, and our goal. Down with Israel.
This year, the International Quds Day comes amid the ongoing Israeli onslaught on Gaza. Israel has cut off fuel, electricity, food, and water to Palestinians living in the besieged territory.
Iranians once again resonated voices of solidarity with Palestinians on International Quds Day and also strongly condemned the recent criminal acts of the Israeli regime leading to the martyrdom of 2 senior Iranian military personnel. When it comes to violation of human rights, nobody can stay silent. Fateh Masumi, Tehran.
Thousands flooded the streets across Pakistan to denounce the United States and Israel for their war crimes in Gaza.
The US is a terrorist state. Israel is a terrorist regime. They are spreading terrorism against innocent men, women, and children in Gaza through their relentless attacks. The US and Israel are using their military might to systematically oppress and kill innocent Palestinians in Gaza.
Protesters marking Quds Day voiced their unwavering solidarity with the Palestinian people in their struggle against the Israeli occupation.
ये फासिस्ट रियासत है.
Israel is a fascist and illegitimate regime that is committing war crimes in Gaza by killing innocent men, women and children on daily basis. The end of Israel is necessary to maintain peace in the world.
Amid chants condemning Israel and the United States, speakers criticized what they called the criminal silence of the world on Israel's war crimes in Gaza.
We demand from the governments, from the Muslim governments, especially the government of Pakistan, to take practical actions. Just lip service is not enough. Just passing resolutions is not enough. Governments should take practical steps for the security of the people of Gaza.
Quds Day is an annual event observed on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan across the world to express solidarity with the Palestinians.
International Quds Day rallies in Pakistan are a manifestation of a solidarity with the Palestinians. The rallies are also a show of unity among Muslims worldwide. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Under the title Flood of the Free, thousands of Syrians and Palestinians along with regional resistance forces rallied in the Yarmouk Palestinian refugee camp in Damascus to commemorate International Quds Day. A joint military parade was organized by the Palestinian resistance as a message of strength and determination.
The commemoration of International Quds Day this year comes after Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, which constituted a strategic shift in the war against the Zionist enemy. It also comes amid the legendary resilience in the Gaza Strip, under the devastating onslaught and the cohesion among all resistance movements participating in this operation.
The Yarmouk camp has witnessed violent battles against terrorism. And today, from the same liberated camp, Syria, Iran, Hezbollah and Palestine vow to keep fighting until the liberation of all occupied territories from the grip of the Israeli terrorist regime and its sponsors. After the military parade, speeches were delivered by representatives of resistance movements.
Today we commemorate International Quds Day, which coincides with the ongoing Israel attacks for the past 6 months on our Palestinian people in Gaza, resulting in a significant number of martyrs and wounded, mostly women and children. The resistance continues and will prevail, and we confirm our absolute support for the resistance both logistically and politically.
Representatives of the resistance praised the profound strategic vision of the founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, who declared the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan as Quds Day. They say this vision was the cornerstone of the resistance front alliance with Palestine as its compass.
This is not from today. Since 1979, Imam Khomeini set this day for us to gather every year to the support of Palestine, liberation of Palestine from river to the sea, and also for the support for all the oppressed people all over the world.
Quds Day has proven to be more than just a celebratory occasion. It is a day that unifies people and brings them together around the Palestinian cause.
The crowds that gathered in solidarity with Gaza to commemorate this day have proven the wisdom of the Islamic Revolution in Iran by establishing an international day for Al-Quds as a constant reminder for the Palestinian cause. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Thousands of protesters have flocked to central London on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan to honour the call of International Quds Day. The annual event was established by Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, in 1979 to express solidarity with the Palestinians and inculcate a Muslim-led opposition to Zionism.
With the ongoing genocide in Gaza unfolding before the world's eyes, this year's protest has taken on extra significance and emotion. It's because people are standing up to a Zionist supremacist entity which has thus far murdered over 33,000 people while still not being able to destroy the capabilities of the resistance.
Due to its popularity, many attempts have been made by pro-Israel groups to ban the Al-Quds rally. And this year, these lobbying efforts fall within the wider context of Zionists and their agents at the top of government trying to get all Palestine marches banned since last October. efforts that have thus far been resisted by police and other elements within the establishment. Those on the march steadfastly reject any attempts to ban it.
It's very contradictory in a country that promotes freedom of speech around the world, human rights and democracy around the world. They want to stop people from protesting, not only these issues, but many other issues. And it's our duty as citizens of this country and the West to continue supporting through democratic means and protest the cause of Palestine.
When you look at the counter-demonstrators, they're a hopscotch of people, Zionists, far-right, British nationalists and so on and so forth, extreme right, nasty elements of British society. They're all on that side. So if you want to ban anyone, ban that lot. We're very representative of British society, especially London society. We're white, black, green, brown, every religion, every colour you can imagine, we're all here.
I'm here to show solidarity with the people in Gaza especially who are suffering genocide, and also show solidarity with our brothers and sisters of all faiths and none who are calling upon our government to uphold international law.
The people of Gaza have won the admiration of the world with their steadfastness against this unprecedented genocide, but as they stand on the brink of a deliberate famine engineered by the Zionist entity, it has scarcely been as important for the voice of the world at rallies like Al-Quds Day to shout loudly for justice and liberation for Palestine. Issa Kadhimi, London.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
In the limelight.
Many Palestinian voices have been silenced or marginalized on social media platforms amid the Israeli regime's genocidal war in Gaza. Many of these users see TikTok as a medium to highlight the ongoing genocidal war crimes in the besieged Palestinian territory. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. Discussions about imposing a ban on TikTok, a short-form video platform owned by a Chinese company, have dominated the public discourse in the United States in recent weeks. The attempts to sell the popular application began during the previous U.S. administration headed by Donald Trump. The incumbent government has intensified the same battle. Recently, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill aimed at pressuring TikTok's Chinese developer, ByteDance, to divest from the company's U.S. operations or face expulsion from the United States. President Joe Biden said he would sign the bill if it passes the U.S. Senate as well. The legislation sets a strict timeline, giving ByteDance 6 months to sell off its U.S. assets or risk a ban in the country. However, final approval rests with the Senate and President Biden's signature. Named the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act, it overwhelmingly passed in the U.S. House of Representatives with 352 votes in favor and only 65 votes against. Lawmakers advocating for the measure cited concerns that TikTok could potentially grant the Chinese government access to the private information of American citizens through its highly engaging algorithm. However, the move was slammed by TikTok's vast user base of 170 million Americans, as well as civil liberties groups and digital rights groups, who warned that a ban would impinge upon freedom of speech, as users are using it to amplify their anger and outrage against genocide in Israel's war in Gaza. While the White House and U.S. legislators push for action against the Chinese app, the fate of the bill hangs in the balance within the U.S. Senate. The upper chamber of the U.S. legislature presents a formidable hurdle where the path forward is far from straightforward. The legislation is set to undergo further scrutiny from lawmakers across the American political spectrum, and it is likely to face competition from alternative versions of a ban. In the broader context, amidst discussions of national security and data privacy, advocates for Palestine warn that the move is part of a broader pattern of technology censorship in line with the biggest and most sinister project shared by the U.S. government and the influential Israeli lobby. Many Palestinian voices have been silenced or marginalized on social media platforms amid the Israeli regime's genocidal war in Gaza. Many of these users see TikTok as a medium to highlight the ongoing genocidal war crimes in the besieged Palestinian territory. U.S. lawmakers have expressed apprehension over the potential clandestine control of ByteDance by the Chinese government. Despite denials from the company, accusations persist regarding the sharing of sensitive user data with the Chinese government. In congressional testimony in March, TikTok's chief executive officer, Xu Chu, refuted such unsubstantiated claims, emphasizing that ByteDance is a private entity independent of Chinese government control. Xu Chu was quoted as saying at the time, "ByteDance is not owned or controlled by the Chinese government. It is a private company." Xu Chu condemned the disappointing legislative action, pledging vigorous defense measures, including legal recourse, to safeguard the app. Citing proactive data protection measures, TikTok remains optimistic about the U.S. Senate vote, highlighting the application's significant economic impact and its extensive user base. The app owners said in a statement recently, TikTok remains hopeful that the U.S. Senate will consider the facts, listen to their constituents, and realize the impact on the economy, 7 million small businesses, and the 170 million Americans who use our service. This process was secret and the bill was jammed through. For one reason, it's a ban. However, skepticism prevails among U.S. legislators, with Senator Marco Rubio alleging during a recent hearing on global threats that Chinese companies, including ByteDance, are subject to control by the Chinese government. Senator Marco Rubio underscored concerns regarding TikTok's utilization of advanced artificial intelligence algorithms fueled by American user data, raising apprehensions about privacy breaches and manipulation. In a bid to sever alleged Chinese influence, according to their claims, policymakers advocate for TikTok's sale to a Western entity. positing it as a viable solution, despite the social media platform's repeated denial, emphasizing the Chinese government's minimal stake in ByteDance. The case has been built against it in Washington. The British newspaper The Independent has also covered the same story and tells us more. TikTok boasts of millions of users across the world who are fiercely against the Israeli-American genocidal war against Palestinians in Gaza and have been posting videos in support of Palestinians of the Gaza Strip. In a recent report, The Independent cited a TikTok user, Awa, whose profile on the Chinese application gained a massive number of followers as she posted pro-Palestine content there. The 26-year-old from New York City was quoted as saying, "It has woken up the entire nation," adding, "TikTok has made us be able to reach so many people across the nation to understand what is truly happening to these people, that they are on occupation and that they are in genocide." According to a report in the Wall Street Journal published recently, one of the reasons behind a fresh push in the United States to ban TikTok was users engaging with content related to the Gaza genocide. Jacob Helbert, a member of the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission, was quoted as saying that the six-month-long war was a turning point in the U.S. government's move to ban it. Jacob Helbert said, "People who historically hadn't taken a position on TikTok became concerned with how Israel was portraying in the videos and what they saw as an increase in anti-Semitic content posted on the app." Anthony Goldblum, a San Francisco-based data scientist, also referred to far more views for videos with pro-Palestine hashtags than posts with pro-Israel hashtags. Referring to Goldblum, the report said, while the ratio fluctuated, he found that at times it ran 69-1 in favor of videos with pro-Palestinian hashtags. With TikTok emerging as a powerful platform for sharing public opinion on Gaza, especially among the younger generation, pro-Israel lobbies such as the Anti-Defamation League have been spearheading the campaign to have it banned in the United States.
Start. Movement. Speed. Live in hope.
Toward the pitch.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamite. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, and everyone out there listening. This is Youth Station with IRIB English Radio, and this is your host Mustafa, and with me in the studio is...
Yeah, I am Bita, the co-host of my brother, and it's a pleasure to be here again at Youth Station.
Definitely, it's always good to hear. It's always nice to be able to talk to youth, I think, you know,
yeah,
it's something
I
enjoy doing.
I believe so.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran,
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So the topic I want to discuss today with you is related to prejudice, right?
Yeah, nice topic.
It's definitely, I think, a topic that's relevant in our society, right? We see many different forms of prejudices. For example, we might see religion prejudice in religion from a race point of view, from, you know, your nationality. It could even be something as, you know, we may have prejudice against our families. Sometimes it may be prejudice against our family members, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think? Do you think there's any positives to it? Is it completely negative? You know, what can we do about these kind of prejudice that exist among us?
Yeah, it is a bit of a difficult question that is it completely wrong or right to have prejudice? Mm. Because prejudice is a kind of blindly acceptance towards something. Mm. Not only you want to accept it blindly, but also you want other people and you want them to actually believe whatever beliefs that you have. And the thing that you mentioned, we have different categories of prejudice, like prejudice over your family, your nation, your country, your race, and about your beliefs. At the end of the day, it comes to the internal prejudice that is about your beliefs and so on. I believe that the goal of every human being is this self-awareness that we have to develop in ourselves. And this self-awareness comes out from knowledge. And right. When you have knowledge, prejudice, I believe, is meaningless in your world.
Definitely. You're right. I think a big source of prejudice among people is, you know, just lack of knowledge or understanding.
Exactly.
And, you know, I came across there's a few verses in the Quran which speak about prejudice, you know, the way it exists. Like, and God says that, you know, he's created us in different, with different tongues and different colors. In one place he says, so that we get to know each other.
Yeah.
Right? So he presents these differences as a positive means for us to get to know each other. In another place he says that, you know, it's a sign for you. It's one of my signs for you that you recognize me because I created you in so many different ways.
Yeah.
So, we can take these things both positively and negatively, right?
Actually, you mentioned a beautiful verse of Holy Quran that we created you both from women and men, and the only difference that you have is about your piety and your virtue.
So we just have to go for a quick break, and then we'll come back for the rest of the discussion. We've been discussing the topic of prejudice, you know, among religion, among race, and our families. Were you saying something right before we were going to the break?
Yeah, I wanted to mention a new dimension towards this prejudice that we're talking about. Actually, there is a specific thing in our culture or in our country mostly, but it's about all culture, you know. And this is the word ghirah or ghirah.
Actually, it's not only cultural. It's something that exists in our religion as well.
Yeah. It's a common religious belief among all of the Muslim ummah that there is something, a definition that we call it ghirat. There is no kind of equal word for this in English culture, but it's a combination of the bravery that you put on saving and supporting your pride about your family, about your religion, and actually it's a good dimension of prejudice, we can call it. And what do you think about it?
Right. It's definitely an interesting question. I don't know how much I would include it as part of prejudice, maybe, but it is. You can sort of see it that way. The whole problem with the word is that, like you said, there's no equivalent of it in English. But the idea is that you protect your honor, right? You protect your family's honor. You protect your, like, nation's honor. And yes, from that point of view, it is something positive. But the idea is that you don't think that you're better than others. You're trying to protect something which is good, right, from oppression.
Exactly.
So if there's oppression out there, then in that place, this type of prejudice can be very beneficial, I think.
Right? I do agree with that one, that there is so much good in this beautiful way of protecting your family, your ideas, and your beliefs. But it's good at this level, at this right. time, and at this boundary. When you cross these boundaries, and when your protection will have the tinge of prejudice, it will become something annoying and disgusting for other people.
The problem is that when the negativity comes in when it turns into arrogance, right?
Yeah.
In fact, I was just speaking to, you know, the driver that brought me here, and we were just saying that, you know, basically Shaitan, Iblis, right? That's what he did. He took like one attribute of himself, that he was made of fire.
Exactly.
And he took that as a, you know, being better than others. When we start thinking that we're better than others because of our race or religion, that's when it becomes an issue, right?
Yeah.
That's so what would you say is a way to sort of remove that arrogance from people?
You know what, as you mentioned, the underlying root of this behavior of prejudice is this arrogance that we have over other people, that we think we're better, we think we're this and that. And again, there is a reason for this behavior of arrogance, which is the criteria and the standards that we are identifying for evaluating people. Okay, when you have difficult criteria for evaluating people, then it will lead to the road of prejudice. When you think, for example, being from the, I'm just giving you an example about the racism. When you are actually standardizing the colors of people as a value, then it will lead to ignorance.
Right.
I mean, so the first step to change this behavior is to change your basic beliefs about values.
Right.
And this is the point.
Okay.
And when you change your values, then your ignorance will be diminished, will right. be faded away. And the problem will be solved, I believe.
All right. So thank you so much. We'll
You're
have to
welcome.
Go for a break, and we'll be right back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Okay, so we're back for the break, and you know, one of the things that I've lived in different countries, you know, and I've definitely faced prejudice and racism. One of the ways that I think that you can sort of get rid of prejudice in people is just spending time with them. So give you an example. When I was young, I was about 15, 16 years old. This is back in a Western country.
Yeah.
And one of the guys in my class, you know, he was very racist. You know, he would call me like Pocky, and he would,
say
you're brown, and he would just push me around many times. And he ended up getting into a fight with me once, right? So he got beat up pretty badly by me. And then after that fight, okay, he became friends with me.
Yeah.
Okay, he started spending time with me.
Nice.
And then he realized that, you know, that I'm not very different from him or from others, right? I'm just another person.
Exactly.
And we became really good friends after that. So a lot of times you just need to be able to spend time with people, and that's it. That will solve the solution many times.
So you mentioned a really important fact, that sometimes the reason of this prejudice is lack of knowledge. When you don't know someone, when you see a stranger, your defensive mechanism is to put your guards high and feel like that person is your enemy and you have to fight with that person. But when you get close to the other people, other races, other religions, and other beliefs, you will understand that they are human beings too. They
right.
have some common beliefs as you. They have some kindness and humanity. For example, when I was younger, I thought, like, for example, foreigners were some strangers and aliens or something like that, that they have so many different cultural gap with us. But no, cultural gap is not something that much to make you feel you're different from other human beings. At the end of the day, we're all humans.
Right. And You know, part of that, a big part of that, you know, understanding that we're humans is going back to your point one about, you know, gaining knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think today's world, we're living in a very globalized world, right? Like everyone's connected to everyone else. Most countries that you go to, there are people from different countries living there. So if somebody's still holding on to like sort of prejudiced beliefs, then, you know, they're doing themselves harm, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the other things that we don't realize is that by being prejudiced against others, if you're thinking better, we're actually really causing ourselves harm.
Yeah.
You know, the other person isn't really losing anything. It's we're the ones that are losing something. We're not learning about others. We're not gaining from them, right?
Yeah.
So I think we need to be much more broad-minded and open-minded when we speak to others about others' beliefs, even if it's a non-Muslim, I feel. You know,
definitely.
We shouldn't have that kind of negative view towards others.
And I believe we have to consider another dimension of this topic, which is it doesn't mean that you have to accept the other people's beliefs, and or it doesn't mean that you have to be that open to change your own true beliefs into some deviated forms of that. It means that you have to protect your beliefs, and if there is opportunity for you, you can invite other people to the truth and the true path, and at the same time, we can be friends with them. There is no arrogance, there is no ignorance.
You know what happens in like back in Pakistan sometimes is that people get into very heated debates, right?
Yeah.
Because, and it could be even like Shia among Shia or Muslims among Muslims,
yeah,
who have like different ideas. They get like emotional, they like stop talking to each other sometimes.
Yeah,
you know, they become enemies of each other. Whereas what we see in our religion, or what I would say is the more common sense view, is that you can just sit down and have discussions with people.
Exactly.
Okay? You don't have to like convince others that you're right. You just need to share information with them. And based off of that, if your information is good, they'll automatically accept like, what you have to say. So we have to be, when I say we have to be open-minded, you're right. We don't have to accept the other person's like views, but we need to be respectful of,
exactly,
their views, you know, so they can return that respect to us as well.
So the key word here, I believe, is respect. We have to respect in a mutual way. And also, we have to focus on our knowledge and on our reasoning in order to convince other people beautifully in what we think is right. And the other part is sometimes we have to give this chance to other people to exchange their beliefs, to exchange their ideas. Maybe we are the one who's wrong. Who knows?
Exactly, exactly. And I have been in many situations where I've realized that I was wrong, you know? So that's definitely something we all have to work on, by the way. You know, we all have a little bit of prejudice in us, I think.
Exactly.
And we all have to work on making ourselves better. Thank you so much for listening to this this episode, and please join us again.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about this.
We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Latif, 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 Allah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Dozens of civilians are killed in the latest Israeli attacks in Gaza, with